Let us bow our heads. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you, O Lord, for this congregation who has kept the message going, who has endured and enjoyed an adventure through 186 years of being a focal point to the community, of reminding people that Jesus Christ is alive and that he is our Savior. Thank you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be of a glorious praise unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. I can relate to you in other ways as well. 2 years before my retirement, we started building a new church in Beaverton. And we didn't have all the support that we wanted, but we had a lot of support. 96% from the congregation. And my plan was to retire after we built the church. And I did, but it took a while. After we built the church, I was going to retire in 3 months. And they said, could you stay on one more year? Just to make sure that we're kind of sliding over the hills okay. And I did. So I have an idea of what this change is. I remember the first Sunday that we went into the new church. And it was new, everything about it. But one thing was the same. God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it didn't matter where we were worshiping God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, the church built on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's your legacy. Christ will be strong. The church may go through many trials, but it will endure. And you are living proof of that sitting here today. 186 years ago, a group of men and women saw their vision move into reality when they held their first worship service in their new building. And it would be the first of many buildings. But down through the generations, people have realized we are the church, we are the people. Where they met in the interim while building and forming the new church, I really do not know where that took place. What exactly they did to raise the necessary funding to build the church, I really do not know that either. But I do know that they had a vision, and that vision is still going on today. I believe that the vision was to make St. Paul's a focal point to Peterborough and the surrounding communities, to let them know that God loves them. These words in Psalm 33, along with many other cherished words of Scripture, I believe supplied light and energy to our ancestors 186 years ago. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our strength and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted his holy name. And as we trust that holy name, he will lead us forward. And at times we will think that's not the direction we want to go in, but trust him. When the men and women of 186 years ago carved out their vision, and they trusted in God, light shone upon what they were doing. We are to do the same. They relied on the steadfast love of God. There is no doubt in my mind that a lot of planning took place before a spade went into the ground 186 years ago. We read this morning from 1 Kings that Solomon built the temple. And what I'd like us to take note of is the great detail was put into the building of the temple. I am fairly sure that a great detail, no doubt, went into the building of St. Paul's first church. And also great detail went into finding this home for St. Paul's. I also feel confident in saying that great effort and planning will go into St. Paul's future as you journey forward as a church of Jesus Christ. A legacy which is still continued today from 186 years ago tells us that what you're doing is right. Prayer and faith in God still remains the cornerstone of St. Paul's. And that's wonderful to see. There is not one of us here today that can say we are happy with all that is happening within the church, beyond the walls of this church. Churches are struggling. Churches are closing. Churches are amalgamating. But St. Paul, in this difficult world, still goes forward as a church. In my father's study, or I guess in more modern words, in his office, there hung a sign that hung as long as I can remember, had three words on it: prayer changes things. I still have that sign. In fact, I can see my wife say, "You forgot to bring it, didn't you?" The best laid plans. And I also believe that the very history of the Christian church tells us that prayer and communication with God guided the church through not only the good times, but also the difficult times. Through war, depression, other struggles. Our struggle now is to bring the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. So many people out there have not met Jesus, have not formed a relationship with him. I was watching an episode on Family Feud the other day. And the question was, and seven answers were required, what are the essential things required in life? Not including food, water, or air. And 100 people were asked to name the seven essential things in life. The first family struck out after naming three wrong answers in a row. The second family won by naming the seventh answer, someone who cares. Someone cares. The other answers were, and I'm sure you want to know them, something to barter with, something to trade, the ability to love, money, a place to live, peace of mind. But no one got the last answer. And I have been saying it now for years and years to young couples planning their future. We need a dream. The founders of St. Paul's had a dream. We need a dream to follow and keep moving forward. An essential key to a happy life is to have a dream. To do the best you can to reach that dream. Something to hang on to no matter what is going on in your life. Something to propel you forward when life is not always a bowl of cherries. I attended an open house that was almost 2 years in the building. And what a house it was. 1,000 feet off of the road, a brook running through the backyard, a 3-car garage, 5 bedrooms, walk-in closets in every bedroom, a mud room that I would use for a living room, and so much more. And somebody during that open house, with more nerve than a toothache, asked the owner, "Why at 80 years of age have you built such a house? Your 6 kids are on your own. You're a grandfather, you're a great-grandfather, and so is your wife, of course. Why?" And I never forgot his answer. He said, 50 years ago, Irene and I bought this property. But we could never accumulate enough money, even for a down payment, to build a house on it. But over those 50 years, we made hundreds of trips to this place we called the Brook. Whenever we needed a boost, or just wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life, we would go to the Brook, and we would design our house, and redesign it, and redesign it, and make marks in the ground as to how it would be. And we'd always say, one day, we're going to build our house. Then one day, a couple of years ago, he said, we were left an unexpected inheritance. And to use his exact words, he said, it was an obscene amount of money. Never saw it coming. It was out of the blue. All of a sudden, our dream became possible. But people said, what about the grass? What about the shoveling of snow? He said, I told you it was an obscene amount of money. We won't be cutting grass and we won't be shoveling snow. He said, God, for whatever purpose, and there is a purpose, made this dream possible. Jacob needed a dream. His possessive mother had schemed with him to steal his brother's birthright, something that was Esau's by right as the older brother. This resulted in Esau's anger coming to a boil. But before Esau could kill his brother, Jacob ran away. Jacob had no dream. He had only the moment. And that moment was being used to leave. Many people today, people in our communities, people in our families, people in our churches, are attempting to escape from their Esau's. They have no dream. Only today, we must have a vision. In Genesis 28, verses 10 to 12, we see that dreams have to begin somewhere. To have an ending, you must have a beginning. Not all dreams will be inspiring. Many are dreams of things that we would rarely wish for. But there's a purpose for them. But would like to have happen. Some are rainbows we follow to get through the day. But this dream of Jacob's of Bethel, where he made a pillow out of rock, would change Jacob's life forever. How many lives have been changed since the dream of St. Paul's congregation 186 years ago? St. Paul's Presbyterian Church was first made a reality because a dream, a vision, was followed. God in a dream showed Jacob what could be and promised that he would always be with him wherever he went. God hasn't changed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, were the words. God has been with the people of St. Paul's down through the years, 186 years. It is true that some doors that have been opened, but also some doors have been closed. And you learn to roll with where you were being led. In Acts 2, we are reminded again that God speaks to us. I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. The building that you are in today is proof that we serve a God who is continually moving us forward. He is not allowing us to grow stale. God wants us to trust him as his plan for our future unfolds. The worst way to approach our future is with a fear. What if all of the inventors of the world had decided that we did not need change? What if they listened to some people who said to them, why are you doing this? It's foolish. If they had listened, would we have electricity, computers, the automobile, central heat, aeroplanes, antibiotics? And the list goes on and on. Life is filled with so many changes. God works through people like each of you. Imagine if all the attitudes were based on trust. Trust God. That someday, somehow, some way, it will be made possible with God. One thing I believe in is yesterday. It brought us to where we are today. We had to have yesterday before we had today. We move forward, carving out tomorrow's dreams out of what was and what is. And we wonder, will we think big enough? God will determine that. We will perhaps see failures. Mistakes will be made. We are living in difficult times, financially, morally. And we see too much focus on me as an individual. But don't let that hold you back from having your new tomorrow. Tomorrow has never happened before. It is going to be different because there are different forces, different people, different power structures. We are made to go forward. And that's where you are heading, is forward. Just last week, I had a call from a couple who were planning their wedding for the summer of 2020. They are setting goals for the future, even though it seems rather far away. They set goals because they do not want to be stuck in the present as it moves into the future. God spoke to Jacob to go forward. When you set goals, you magnify your values. And you also somehow, some way, discover that you find support. St. Paul's over 186 years is living proof of that, of the support that have kept the doors open to the world. As I draw to a close, I would like to say the goals which are based on great values attract support from unexpected places. Did you expect that you would be worshiping in this building a year ago? No. But the support came and the doors opened. Your ministry has accomplished all that it has because you are committed. And that's what God calls us to do. To be committed, not distracted. Living that commitment both in your personal and church life is a formula for moving forward. I truly believe that God has a dream for St. Paul's. And he will use your talent fill those dreams. But you need to respond when called. And from what I see today, you're doing a wonderful job at responding. And I would end by saying, please do not be afraid to dream your dreams and design your tomorrows. God is with you. Be patient. Let him guide you in faith. Amen.